Welcome to another Radio Academy podcast. My name is Christian Hugill, and every week, on behalf of the good people of the Radio Academy, I speak to some brilliant audio types who've been working on a brilliant project and hope to have a conversation with them about it that you'll find, well, brilliant, I guess. After all, the Academy strives to promote excellence in the world of radio, podcasts and audio that, if you're listening to this, you probably love as much as I do. Now, this week, an interview I've been wanting to do for ages about a project that fascinated me from the moment I saw it.
Our world is changing. It's time for fresh ideas and new points of view. I'm Yana Peel, Global Head of Arts and Culture at Chanel. And this is Chanel Connects, bringing together creative game changers from film, art, dance, music, and more.
Chanel Connects is an arts and culture pod made on behalf of the fashion giant Chanel by Something Else, a fantastic production company that's part of the global podcast division of Sony Music Entertainment. Now, other than having The Devil Wears Prada as my favourite film, I know nothing about fashion. You only have to look at my clothes on any given day to realise that. So I started by asking the executive producer of the podcast's second season, Alex Lawless, what the pod is and how it all came about.
I cannot take any credit for winning this incredible piece of work. I joined the project for season two, but season one of Chanel Connects was born out of a lockdown project. We pitched for and won the opportunity to make a show with Chanel, and the scope of the show was, you know, pre-pandemic, to involve live audiences and still the same format of connecting global stars in their field and getting them to talk on topics, but with this kind of, you know, audience-focused take. And then you know what happened, and so it became a much more intimate podcast where, you know, so you've got like Tilda Swinton and Edward Enninful like giggling about a wedding that they went to like the year before, sat from the comfort of their living rooms. It created a much more intimate program. So one of those few moments where you get a much more intimate, special listen as an inadverted consequence of the pandemic rather than some great design, I'd say. And then season two, we took what we thought were the best bits of season one and enhanced them a bit more. So we wanted to take people into the studio, but we didn't want to lose that feel of intimacy. So, you know, we upped the recording quality. We weren't hampered by people having to set up their own laptops in their spare bedrooms during the pandemic, as I'm sure every listener to this podcast has had to endure enough of the last 2-3 years. And instead, we were able to make beautiful, crafted pieces, well, conversation pieces, essentially, where we put two leaders in arts and culture, dance, visual art, film stars, and we put them in conversation with one another, and then they're moderated by one of the voices from Chanel. So, like, the incredible Yana Peel, who's Global Head of Arts and Culture for Chanel, and Diane Solway, who's Head of Arts and Culture Programmes. So they really know their stuff. It was just a case of us working with them to find the right voices and then make it sound nice.
And when a massive company like this is making a podcast, a massive global brand, is it yourselves from Something Else, from the production side of things, who say, this is what content we think you guys should be making? Or does the brand say, this is what we want to create?
Far be it from me to tell the home of Karl Lagerfeld what they should be doing with their brand. I would actually say it's to Diane and Yana's great credit that this felt incredibly collaborative. The working with a brand like Chanel is a privilege in that we all instinctively know what that brand stands for. It stands for quality, it stands for beauty and for great design. And so everything that we have to do with this show has to fulfill the criteria of anything that Chanel will put out. So in that respect, like, it's kind of obvious. Like, I wasn't coming in here being like, you know what you've got to do, lads? You've got to, like, take the Chanel brand, but, like, make it more for, like, your Primark shopper, your busy mums in M&S. Like, this is an arts and culture show that, I mean, you know, Chanel wanted to reach an audience of people who are interested in arts and culture. This isn't for necessarily their, like, couture buyers. That, you know, we're not exclusively booking people for this show that are, I don't know, people you've never heard of, but that have done amazing things in arts and culture. You know, these are, like, in many respects, household names, but that we get a deeper, more nuanced conversation with them around arts and culture. It's not a celebrity interview podcast. It's about the state of the arts. It's kind of fulfilling that hole where, like, really there aren't that many great arts and culture podcasts at the minute. And Chanel, being the brand that it is the perfect place to do that. We had an initial conversation. We talked about their ambitions for the program and the audience they want to meet. And then we discussed, like, the kinds of characters that they've got relationships with. Because obviously, when you're a house as big as Chanel, you've got the kind of pull and network that any podcast producer would be envious of. They had an idea of, like, relationships they had, but then we would work with them on working through the themes of each episode, of working out a direction of questioning. We'd pull together enormous briefs for each episode. So, you know, you hear 40 minutes of conversation, but there's been weeks, in some cases months, of research and research calls and deliberation and striking out questions and putting new ones in to really make sure that you're getting the most interesting conversation that you can have between these two figures that are in front of the moderator.
But this is what I was getting at, because you said to me, oh, well, we're not going to tell a brand like Chanel how to do it, but a brand like Chanel is known for all of those things that you mentioned, but it's not immediately known for radio, for podcasting. So that's where your experience as a production company and your experience as a producer, Alex, I guess, comes in. Was that daunting to come and work with such a big brand? Because they are going to lean on that experience of yours.
Oh, it's incredibly daunting, because as the exec producer, I am responsible for I'm the final stop. I am the tick at the end of the project. There is literally, in fact, it's still on the whiteboard in the office. This proved to be quite a complicated delivery in the end, with lots of additional deliverables on top of the episodes that you can hear on wherever you get your podcasts. And we did work well with Chanel, I think. Like, they trusted us, and I'd say that we got the sound right very quickly. And we'd already done a season, so I knew what the expectation was. But it, as well as work, the intimidation of working with the brand, I don't know if Diane would want to hear me say this, but, you know, the there is an intimidation of working with someone like Diane Solway, who is a former editor for W Magazine. What she doesn't know about, like, visual art and dance probably isn't really worth knowing. And so to be presenting someone like that with a brief, who's got, like, a fierce editorial judgment and an incredible way with words and write beautiful script, I can only liken it to when I've worked on Radio 4 programmes before and you're writing scripts for National Treasures. You know, this is the brand equivalent of that. And so, yes, it's a collaboration, but also I'm working with people who really know what they're doing. Yana Peel was the CEO of the Serpentine Gallery. You know, like, these are people that really know their stuff. And so it was a pleasure to work with them, and also to learn, you know, it sounds a bit crass, but, and we learned so much along the way. But we did. We had a lot of fun, and we learned an incredible amount about incredibly interesting people.
In this episode, we're connecting Maisie Williams and Grimes. Actor Maisie Williams is best known for her portrayal of Arya Stark in the television series Game of Thrones. Arya's transformation from vulnerable young girl to ruthless assassin on a quest for vengeance made her a favourite with fans and earned Maisie 2 Emmy Award nominations for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Drama Series. Maisie has a keen interest in technology and the way it can be harnessed to support the arts. Alongside new acting projects, she has also established herself as a successful entrepreneur, founding a production company called Wrapped and 2 networking platforms designed to help creatives. Maisie connects with the musician Grimes, whose daring, category-defying work blends pop, electronica, and the avant-garde. Her album Visions broke through when it was named Electronic Album of the Year at the Canadian Juno Awards and was then chosen as one of the 500 greatest albums of all time by NME.
Why do you think a massive brand like Chanel wants to go into audio? Why did they think that would be a good thing for their business to do at this particular moment?
Straightforwardly, Chanel is has an appeal for everyone. There's the couture shows, but the brand lives because it's loved universally. And Chanel has an enormous range of arts and culture projects under the new arts and culture team that Yana heads up. So they wanted to make... This is not a piece of marketing for them where they're like, we're going to do a podcast about arts and culture and then it's going to sell more clothes. That's not the purpose of this for them. It's about enhancing... maintaining Chanel's reputation as a supporter of the arts. It's about furthering relationships that they've already got with massive stakeholders in the Chanel business. So on this season, we interviewed G-Dragon, who older listeners may not know as the king of K-pop. He has an enormous global fan base that honestly dwarfs what you imagine even Harry Styles has as a fan base. He has got a very close relationship with the Chanel brand, and so them giving him the opportunity to talk about his passion and introduce him to someone who he's always wanted to meet, like, is just an opportunity that for artists like that, it's too good for them to turn down.
And we always do like to end this podcast when we've sort of looked at cool projects that are going on with things that you can learn. What did you learn from this? Because as I said, I think it is a project that would have daunted me I've used this term a lot, but when a brand like Chanel comes to you and says, right, we're not known for this, but we're going to go into podcasting, we're going to make this piece of audio, and you go on that journey with them and you produce what you guys have ended up producing, which sounds fantastic. What did you learn along the way?
We worked very closely together. So there weren't really any surprises. There's bookings in this show from the Something Else team. Like, we've worked with Honey Dijon before and we've worked with Grimes before. And we were like, these people would be amazing guests on this show. And working with the Chanel celebrity team, we were able to make that happen. Through like getting to really know your client and getting to know what they're trying to achieve, you can make things happen that you couldn't do outside of a branded podcast. Where else are you really going to get Maisie Williams and Grimes to sit down for 2 hours? It just isn't going to happen now. So you need the power of a brand like Chanel, and there really aren't many like Chanel who can bring people like that together, because you need to have an incredible level of credibility. You need to have global pull. You know, I think the other thing that was interesting for me is, you know, at Sony, at Something Else, we make podcasts for global markets, but we're still largely talking about US, UK, Ireland, and a bit of Europe, you know, Australia as well. Chanel's really talking global. Like, we have an episode in French and an episode in Korean because of it reflects, you know, where their markets are strongest. To truly think globally is a really tricky thing to do. What we had to do as the podcast producer was like, yes, we were making the podcast, but we had to be so flexible around the rest of the situation. And we came up against so many immovable deadlines. Saturday records, like the Korean episode was recorded with producers in LA, New York, London and Seoul all on the line at the same time. Like, the level of production required to, you know, on paper, it's just a conversation. But that's not even including the what I can only assume is like 30, 40 strong TV production crew who filmed the video with G-Dragon whilst he was there. I saw the machine and looked it in the eye and gained like a real newfound respect for when, you know, perhaps I don't want to be unfairly characterise our audio community, but I don't... people who are fashionistas are few and far between, right?
I couldn't possibly comment at this stage.
Like, perhaps there's a bit of a culture of disdain of fashion You know, or, you know, it's easy, or, you know, you just like, oh, all belts are the same, or blah, blah, blah. And I really got an insight into how you set the agenda at the heart of your company. You make quality this very center of everything that you do. You know, like, it's this enormously slick operation where everybody is striving to make sure everything is the very, very best it can be, because if it's not the best, they will just either not do it or do it again and again and again until it's right. And so I got a tour of the Chanel Paris office, and it just felt so unfair for me, someone who is like hands up, not had an interest in this world before. And it was just jaw-dropping, one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. And I realised that if you want to make something incredible, you have to put quality at the heart of everything that you do. And I've never before been into an office as spectacular as that, and I doubt I'll ever see one again. That, to me, is like why they make such great stuff and why we were able to make such a great podcast with them. The thing that I really learned is how if you want to put a show out as a brand, as a branded podcast, you need to get all your ducks in a row within your brand. And we make lots of branded podcasts at Something Else, and several successful ones. I exec the Primark All Round Mine podcast, which is great as well. So it turns out my job is fashion now.
From Chanel to Primark.
Chanel to Primark, that's me. You know, the thing that both brands did really well, but Chanel in particular, have just got so right, is they put the full power of the company behind it. So if you went on WeTransfer for the month after that podcast released, you got an advert for the Chanel Connects podcast. They had they had like sponsored tweets, they had Instagram posts that were beautifully made, and, you know, audiograms. And we obviously provided marketing support and advice, and the Sony marketing team is incredible. And it was great to, but it was just incredible to work with a brand like that, who work on this global scale and really brought like a new level of global listenership to something that I've made. Like, I've never made something that I think will have been seen like tens of millions of times, like just the clips from this show. It's incredible.
Thank you very much to Alex for sparing the time to talk to us. I really enjoyed hearing his tips on how to make audio for a client, in this case a massive brand, and also just about the working relationship they had when pulling it all together. Getting to know what audience you're trying to reach and what a piece of audio is there to do, and also really knowing the people you're working with, is just great advice, isn't it? A reminder, if you want more from the Radio Academy, sign up to be a member for just £3 a month. Can't even get a latte for that at the moment, can you? You can get access to more than 100 videos of recent events and loads more. Just search Radio Academy membership for all the details. Now, next week, another interesting podcast project, this time from the BBC.
25 years of my life, people didn't know that I couldn't swim. And it feels so dramatic, like crying about it, but imagine hiding something from the people that you love and your best friends, and you're going on holiday and you're like, I'm not going to go in the water because I want to get my hair wet.
Some figures estimate that as many as 98% of British South Asian women can't swim. One of them is BBC Radio Leicester presenter Sumaya Mughal, who's launched a pod called Brown Gal Can't Swim for BBC Sounds. We will find out all about it next week. I look forward to talking to you then. Bye for now.